open your minds to the things that we will study this morning. If you find anything that is said and done that you believe is not in accordance with God's will, we'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and open mind and come to a better understanding of the Scriptures. It is our purpose and our intent here at Knollwood to teach and practice just those things revealed in the pattern of God's Word. If you feel that we have not done that, we'll be more than happy to sit down with you and come to a better understanding. We're happy that you're here, and we ask that you would spend a few moments afterwards that we might get better acquainted, that we might be better able to do those things that God would have us to do. You wonder why I'm starting down here is Brother Seller's big feet. I want to begin today a study on a subject that I believe is very, very simple. One that is not very difficult to understand, but because of much misteaching in the world, it is one that is constantly being debated. It has been debated hundreds of times. It's been debated in this community. It's been debated in many communities. And it is being debated in the religious world. I want to begin this morning by looking at a passage of Scripture that is in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 16. The Scripture says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. The law and the prophets were all the people of Israel had until the coming of John the Baptist." John the Baptist was spoken about in prophecy in Isaiah the 40th chapter in verse number 3. We are told that he is the one coming, the forerunner, that would prepare the way of the Lord. And we know that for 400 years after the giving of the prophet Malachi's message, that there were no direct prophets during those times, but men lived under the law of Moses. The word "until" is an adverb, meaning that there is a coming of time when God will have some additional information. The word "until" tells us that there was a message, but there was something else coming. The Old Testament was never permanent. It was a temporary law. It was a temporary law, as Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 through 25 instructs us, that it was a law that led us to Jesus Christ. By that law, we are led to Christ and understand that Christ is the key to God's plan for the salvation of all men. This passage clearly teaches that the gospel of the kingdom is yet to be preached. The gospel of the good news. What does it mean? What does it include? And what should we be practicing and teaching today? It was the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. It was the kingdom of Christ. This was not going to be an earthly kingdom. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom. In John the 18th chapter, in verse number 37, Jesus Christ is on trial for his life. And in speaking to Pilate, he makes this statement in verse number 37. In verse number 37 of John chapter 18, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You have said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." You see, Jesus came to prepare the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Jesus came, he began to preach a different message. It is true that while Jesus lived upon this earth, that his life was to be in accordance with the old law, that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18, that law must stay intact until all of it would be fulfilled. And at the death of Christ upon the cross, we read in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14, that law was nailed to the cross. We read in Ephesians, the second chapter, and verses 14 through 16, that wall that divided the Jew and the Gentile was now removed, that the two men might now be reconciled, into one by the death of Jesus Christ. You see, all this describes the preparation stage, getting the people ready for the king and the kingdom that was to come. This kingdom would not be established while Jesus lived upon this earth. He was never going to be an earthly ruler. He was never going to have an earthly kingdom. And yet there are many who are still hoping and praying and expecting that is going to be done at some later time. We will see that indeed is not true, that the kingdom is here, and he is reigning, and that we need to be concerned about the things in the coming of this kingdom. It was a preparation stage. John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 4. We want to see that here we learn that baptism was first proclaimed by John the Baptist long ago. And he was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. And he preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. We need to also understand John would not baptize anyone unless they brought fruit, meat for repentance. Remember the Pharisees came out and when he was out in the wilderness baptizing, he called them brood of vipers. Who has warned you of the wrath to come? Therefore do fruits meet for repentance. I want you to understand that the baptism of John was based upon repentance. Unless a man was willing to repent, unless he was willing to turn away from sin and to turn away from sin and to follow after Christ, he was not a recipient. He was not worthy, and he would not be accepted as one who could practice the baptism of John. Now, what about this baptism for forgiveness of sin? Who can forgive sin? The only one that I know that can forgive sin is God. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, and verse number 6, we're told that Jesus said to let everyone know that the Son of Man has the ability and the power to forgive sin. Sin is forgiven by God. No man can forgive sin. That's why you don't need to confess your sin to me. You don't need to confess it to some priest. You can do that yourself. And the only one that can truly take away your sin is God. We need to also understand baptism was not based upon repentance, could not gain forgiveness of sin. Now, brethren, this is an important point. If you were not willing to repent, then the baptism of John could gain you nothing. You had to be willing to be repentant. But you want to know, this is a forerunner to prepare us for the baptism of Christ. Repentance is also going to be required under the baptism of Christ. We also need to understand that baptism for remission of sin was included in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, there are some that would have you believe that this doctrine is something we made up. They would have you think that the baptism for remission of sin is something that the Church of Christ made up. It's one of their ordinances. It's one of their teachings. That's not true. The baptism for remission of sin was included in preaching the message of the kingdom, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was part of the message, even in the preaching of John the Baptist. We need to understand that preach at the beginning of the new message. This preaching the gospel of Christ was the new message. And in that new message was baptism. It was baptism for repentance that would lead to remission of sin, but nevertheless, it was baptism. And by the way, that word baptism means what it's always meant. It means immersion. It means a burial. It means covering. And it means to be completely plunged. That's what baptism means. That's not a theory. That's not a doctrine. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, when John preached baptism for forgiveness of sins, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. Even in the preparation stage of the coming of the kingdom, at the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of Christ, part of the message included baptism. Brethren, you think about that. That means that it's been around a long time. It wasn't started by the church. It wasn't started by some group of preachers. It wasn't started by some denomination. It was started at the preaching of John. And my friend and ladies and gentlemen, that's over 2,000 years ago. It's something we just thought of? Something that just came up? No. It's been in the Bible a long, long time. The beginning. We need to look at the beginning. Now, who started this ideal of baptism for remission of sin? Why don't we let the scriptures tell us who started this concept? In Luke chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacchaeus, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I want you to notice that phrase. Preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now that was preached during the preparation stage of the coming of the gospel of Christ. When the word of God came to John, he went on and preached the baptism for forgiveness of sins. John did not originate this doctrine. He did not get this doctrine. He did not think it up. It was something that he received from God. Where did he get the ideal? Where did he get the concept? Where did he get the thought for the teaching? How did he come up with this baptism of repentance for remission of sin? Where did he get it? We've got to know where he got it. He was the first person to preach it. The first person to ever preach baptism for the remission of sin and under the gospel of Christ was John the Baptist. But that is not the same baptism that we have today, but he was the first one to preach that subject. We need to understand the word of God came to John. What did it say? The word of God came to John. What does that mean? That means he got it from God. He didn't think it up. He didn't just start a new fad. He just didn't start a new way. It was something that God gave to John. And what did John do with it? He gave it to us. He gave it to those who would hear and those who would listen. God himself originated baptism for forgiveness of sin. Don't let anybody tell you that the Church of Christ thought this up. Don't you let anybody tell you that this is some teaching of man. Man didn't think this doctrine up. It came from God himself. God sent John to prepare the way for the Lord, and part of his preparation work was to preach baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. It's not something that originated with man. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. That's what Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, and that's exactly what John did. We need to understand something. The forgiveness of sin is something that man needed. Man has needed that from the Garden of Eden. When man transgressed God's law and he fell, there had to be a way of reconciling God and man back together again. God had a plan, and that plan would see its fulfillment in one person, in Jesus Christ. But before that happened, God did some things before that happened. And those things were preparatory work for what was going to come. Part of the word. God started this teaching, and it became part of his word. Why? Why did it become part of his word? Because it was part of God's eternal plan. God made this plan. Man didn't make this plan. God made this plan. Now you might sit there and ask tonight, or this morning, why baptism? Well, really, you would have to take that up with God, but I think if you did some research and you did some reading, I think you find out there's a reason why God had baptism. Baptism for remission of sin is not a Church of Christ doctrine. It is a teaching that came from this book. The Church of Christ didn't create this doctrine. It is not something we thought up on our own. It is not something that we came up with so we could be argumentative. It is not something that we came up with so we could practice this ordinance that's unlike any other ordinance that you might know. Why don't we dab with a rose? Why don't we sprinkle? Why don't we pour? Why don't we baptize babies? Why don't we do that? Other places do that. Why don't we do that? Because it's not in here. You see, it's not in here. This is a teaching that came from God. And I want to suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if it came from God, then I believe that means it's profitable. I believe it's something that's worthy of your consideration. If we can prove that baptism is a doctrine from God, I think it bids you to give it consideration. And that's what I want to try to show you today. This baptism, this doctrine of baptism, as we begin this series of lessons on baptism, it is something that came from God. It did not originate with us. It did not originate with men. And even the holy men of God that we read about in the Bible, they didn't think this up. This is something that God gave to them and they gave to us. And we need to understand that. God's messenger. Now remember John. Look at this passage in John 1 verse 33 and 34. I did not know him who sent me to baptize with water, but he said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist said that it was God who would send him, and what would be the sign that John would know who this one was? The one who you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that is the one that will baptize with water and with Spirit. We need to understand something. It's clear by all the passages that we have looked at. When did it start? It started in the days of John the Baptist. Why did it start? It started because God sent John with a message. Where was it started? In the wilderness, in Jordan. And who started it? John did by the direction of God. That is what the Bible says. Now that being so, what about the work of this man, John the Baptist? What do we know about the work of John the Baptist? I want you to know that John's work was preparation work. It was laying the foundation. It was setting the ground for what was coming. His work was preparatory. It was temporal. It was never made to be permanent. Many today do not understand that, brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, many people do not understand that John's message was preparing for a greater message, something that was more powerful, more enduring. Notice Luke chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Who will he turn them to? Why doesn't it say he turned them to John? He wouldn't turn them to John. He wouldn't turn them to himself. He would turn them to the Lord, their God. He will also be before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepared for the Lord. Now, you know what I believe? I believe that this passage tells us that John's work was preparatory in preparation for the, what the Lord would do after the days of John. He was to give his people, the Jews, the knowledge of salvation, the needed preparing work for the coming of Jesus' personal ministry. This surely means that his people were not ready or prepared at the time of John. If the people were prepared at the coming of John, why send John? Think about that for a minute. If men and women were ready for Christ, why send John? They weren't ready yet. And since they weren't ready yet, having strayed from God, they were lost. Incidentally, from the evidence, one should be able to see that God's people can go astray. That is, people can go away from God. There are some today would have you believe that you couldn't go away from God. That's exactly what God's children did. Why did he put them in Assyrian captivity? Why did he put them in Babylonian captivity? Why did he destroy them as a nation in AD 70? Why did he often with Jesus during his personal ministry? Why was he at odds with the Jews, the scribes, and the Pharisees? Why was he at odds? Because he accused them of leaving God. But brethren, people say today, you can't leave God. You can if you want to. If you want to go back into the old ways of sin, you can do that. Nothing's holding your feet to the ground. If you want to practice that which is ungodly, if you want to practice that which you left when you became a Christian, you can do that. You know what? You did that before you became a Christian. Why couldn't you do that afterward? Your choice. It's your choice. Let's then view some important facts. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 76 and 77, who was this message directed to? Who is this message of baptism for repentance, unto repentance for the remission of sin? Who was it directed to? It was directed to the house of Israel. You know what that is? That is the lost needed salvation. And this message was aimed at the Jews. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, this is called the limited commission. He sent them first to the house of Israel. Why first? Why did they get the first crack? Who did God give the oracles of God to? Who did God give the oracles of God to? He gave them to the Jews. Read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He first gave them to the Jew. Remember what Romans 1:16 says? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first. The limited commission. John sent to give people knowledge. He was telling them and preparing them for the Lord, for the knowledge they needed of the Lord. In Mark chapter 1, and in verse number 4, we have the dawning of a new day. In Mark chapter 1, in verse number 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching baptism of repentance for remission of sin. This is a new message. A new day is dawning. A new day is coming. And John is doing the preparation work. Baptism for remission of sin. To turn people to God. That's what that message was about. It was to turn people to God. This is the way that God chose to make ready and prepare his people for the work of his Son. Those who accepted and obeyed were made ready and prepared by the attaining of the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sin. In this way, John turned many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Is that not what the prophet said? What would John do? He would come in the spirit of Elijah, and he would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That was his purpose. Turn the hearts of the disobedient to the attitudes of the righteous. It was this way that they became righteous, by the forgiveness of sin. Now, let us consider specifically, how did he do that? How did he prepare the people for the Lord? How did he do that? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 2 and 8, we are told, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? In verse 8 it reads, therefore bring fruit, keeping with your repentance. What does it mean that the kingdom of God is at hand? It means that it is near. It means that it's close. But you know what it does not mean? It does not mean that it is here. If it was here, you would not preach it was at hand. And you know what? If you read Matthew chapter 4, if you will look at your Bibles and you will look at verse 17, you know what you will read? In verse 17 it says, for that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, look at that word, is at hand. Even in the days of Jesus, it was not there yet. It was coming. In Mark 1, verse 5, they were to confess their sin. Unless they were willing to confess their sin, they were not worthy of this baptism unto repentance for the remission of sin. In Matthew chapter 19, Acts chapter 19 and verse 4, faith in Christ was a must. In the Gospel, John preached that the people should believe in Jesus. Years after, the Apostle Paul testified that John indeed baptized with water unto repentance, telling his people to believe in him who was coming after him. Who was that? Who came after John? Jesus Christ, Son of God. In Mark 1 verse 4, prepared for the blood of Christ. That would be the entrance. That would gain the thing they needed. Israel was commanded to do these things. God commanded them through the preaching of the John the Baptist that they were commanded to do these things. It was not an option. They had a choice to make. The people of Israel were commanded to do these things. Thousands of them obeyed God and became the prepared people who formed the beginning of the kingdom that would be established on the day of Pentecost. Most of what John preached, the Jews had heard time and time again in their history. Over and over, the nation of Israel had strayed from God. The different generation had heard the prophet after prophet preach repentance. That wasn't a new message. Repentance wasn't a new message. They heard that over and over again. Preparing for God, that wasn't a new message. The prophet preached that also. They knew the necessity of confessing their sin. That was required under the old law. They had even heard the prophet from Moses onward tell of the coming of the Messiah, and the faithful believed the promise. I want you to know something. There was nothing new. This was nothing new. Repentance, confession of sin, and forgiveness of sin was not something new. What was new was that it was going to be able to be permanently forgiven. That's new. They didn't have that under the old law. They did not have the permanent remission of sin. They did not have the remedy for sin under the law. Remember Hebrews chapter 10? For both the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. They did not have it under that law. They did not have it under Moses. But with the preaching of John the Baptist, they were soon going to have it. They were going to have what they had waited for over 1,500 years. They were going to have the remedy. And connected with the remedy was the preaching of baptism. Now, brethren, the scriptures clearly say that is so. That the remedy is tied in some way to baptism. John preached baptism. The law and the prophets until John. You know what? If you go back and you look at all the preaching of the prophets, go back and read in the Psalms. Go back and read the law. Where do you find any teaching and preaching on baptism? You don't see it in the Bible until John. Until the preaching of John, baptism is not taught. Something additional. The blood of sacrifices of bulls and goats, sin offering, trespass offering, Day of Atonement, feast days. We've heard about all that. But when did we hear about this message of baptism? Why? The Church of Christ thought that up. Well, no, we didn't. God thought that up. And it came in the days of John the Baptist. Something new. God sent him. Who sent John? What did Malachi say? Behold, I will send my messenger. Who sent him? New message for the sinner. No longer is it going to be bloods of bulls and goats. No longer is it going to be outward expressions of obedience. It was going to be a new message. John the Immerser preached baptism. Now those that want to take their aim at us in the Lord's church and say, you people in the Lord's church, all you care about is baptism. What about John the Baptist? You're going to charge him with the same? That's all he preached. Was he like us? Was he like us? Is that all he thought about? What message did he have? What message was he giving? What work was he sent to do? He was sent to prepare the way for the Lord, and part of that preparation was baptism. It didn't originate with us. It originated with the God of heaven. So if you don't like the subject of baptism, you need to take it up with the right person. Don't take it up with us. Take it up with God, because that's where John got it. He got it from God. Now, we have some, even among our own, that tell us that we need to preach Christ and not say anything about baptism. I have sermons in my office that were preached by preachers of the gospel that say that we need to preach Christ and we need to leave out baptism. Now I've got one question. How would you do that? How would you do that? No one can preach Christ without baptism. Why? What was part of the preparation work of his coming? The preaching of John. What did John preach? John the Baptist could not even do it. When he was preaching the good news of the kingdom, when he was preaching the gospel of Christ, what did he preach? He preached what we shouldn't preach. He preached baptism. Now, John couldn't do it. And I want you to know that I can't do it. Nobody's going to be true to the book can ignore the subject of baptism. It cannot be done because it was done from the very beginning. You know, the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, when the question was asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was the answer? There we go. We talked about that subject again. What did he say on that day of Pentecost so long ago? What was Peter's answer? Who spoke by the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts 2 verse 1? They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did the Spirit utter for them to say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now wait a minute, Peter. Why is he talking about that? Why did he give that answer? Because that's what the Spirit led him to say. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, started with John's preaching, and it included baptism for the remission of sin. Somebody tell me, how do I preach Christ today and leave out the subject of baptism for remission of sin? How do I do that? Well, I know how you can do it. I do know how you can do it. Just ignore it. Just pretend like it's not there. And you know what? That's what many people do. They just pretend like it's not there. But I want you to know that it is there. And I want you to know that it didn't originate with us. And I want you to know that we didn't think it up. And we don't have some church ordinance that we thought up. And we're not hooked on this water thing. It is a subject that God has talked about for thousands of years. It is not something that just cropped up. Now, John the Baptist sent to baptize Jesus. Think about this for a minute. There's a pointed question asked to John. It's a good question. Look at what they asked him. They said, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Remember they asked him, they were sent by the Jews to find out who John the Baptist was. Who are you? He said, are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you the prophet? That was the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18. He said, no, I'm not the prophet. He said, are you Jesus Christ? No, I'm not the Messiah. He said, okay, John, if you're not Elijah, you're not Christ, you're not the prophet, why do you preach this message of baptism? Why are you doing that? What answer did he give them? I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. I want you to notice two things in this verse. He should be revealed to Israel. Who is he? Christ. How would he be revealed to Israel? Because of that fact that he needed to be revealed to Israel, therefore, because of that, I came baptizing with water. Now, isn't that interesting? In order for the Messiah to be revealed to Israel, John came baptized with water. Now, what in the world does that have to do with Jesus Christ? John said it had something to do with it. Now, think about this for a minute. Reason this out in your mind. Jesus had to be revealed to Israel. He was the Messiah. He was the fulfillment of all the 330 prophecies that had been given in the Old Testament. He was the revelation of that. In order to be revealed to Israel, there was some connection to baptism with water. Now, what was that connection? How would he recognize Jesus? How would he know he's the one? How would he know that? I did not know him. John says, I didn't know him. I never met him. How am I going to know which one it is? But he who sent me to baptize with water, who sent him to baptize with water? God did. Now God sent me, and he sent me with a message. And he said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is he. This was going to be a sign for John the Baptist that this is my beloved Son. Now think about that for a minute. When did this happen? When did this take place? Oh, it took place. And you know that it took place. It took place at his baptism. Why did Jesus go to John? Why did Jesus go to John as he began his public ministry? Remember, he was tempted in the wilderness, and then he went to John. Why would he go to John? What need would he have of John? Well, it's a 60-mile journey. Where Jesus was a 60-mile hike to go out in the wilderness and see John. Now, why would he go out there? Why didn't he just begin after his temptation? Why didn't he just go out and begin? Why did he first go to John? Had to be some reason. You wouldn't make a 60-mile hike for nothing. There had to be some purpose in that. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, we read the reason why he went out there. He went out there to be baptized of John. And that's interesting in and of itself. Why did John seek to discourage Jesus from being baptized? He says, you come to baptize me? I have need to be baptized of you. What are you coming to me for? You know what? In all honesty, brethren, I can understand John's position. Can't you? The Son of God. He's coming to me for me to do something for him. Something's wrong with this scenario. He doesn't need me. I need him. If Jesus came to me today and said, Keith, I want you to do something for me, I'd have the same reaction John had. What are you coming to me for? I can't do anything for you. But you see, the sinless Son of God needed no sin remitted. What was baptism of repentance unto? Remission of sin. Well, wait a minute. Jesus didn't have any sin. Why did he need it? He had no sin. Why did he need that baptism? I want you to think about that this afternoon. Why did he need that baptism? And by the way, if baptism isn't important, why would Jesus even submit to it? You know, people today will tell you that it's nothing, it's just an outward sign of inward grace. Really? Why was Jesus Christ ready? Why was the sinless Son of God, the salvation of the world, the remedy to sin, why would he submit to the baptism of John? What was baptism of John for? Repentance for the remission of sin. Now, was Jesus' baptism some reason different? No. But did he need it? You know that he didn't. Please take your psalm books and turn to page 146. I want you to think about this afternoon why he needed that baptism. And I'll give you a little insight. Read Matthew, the third chapter, the entire chapter, and you will get the insight of why he went out to John. Well, I want to, as we close our lesson this morning, I want you to know that the subject of baptism is not a subject that you should take lightly. It is a subject that you need to search out your Bible and see what it says. The Bible tells us that God had a remedy for sin. It was the blood of his Son. And in the Bible, we have the terms of that remedy. The terms of that remedy are very simple. If you hear the word of God, you must believe what you hear. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is faith a must? Absolutely. Hebrews 11:6 says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you need to repent? You needed to repent under John's. You needed to believe under John. Do you need to repent under Christ? Yes, you need to repent. Isn't that what Acts 17:30 says? At the time of Ignatius, God once winked at, but he commands all men everywhere to repent. Yes, you must repent. And you must confess his name before men. Is that not what the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse number 36? When he came to a certain body of water, he said, see, here's water, what this hinder me to be baptized. Remember what he told Philip? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's confession. But you know what? In all of those four steps I just told you, you have still not got the remedy. You're still in your sin. Now you know what? There are religious people in this world, and even some of our brethren, that would argue with you. But you are not saved yet. Because the only thing that can save you from your sin is the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is only in one place according to Scripture. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, in Colossians 2, verse 12, baptism is where you contact the blood of Jesus Christ. Why does the Scripture make this statement? You arise to walk in newness of life. Are you changed because you are wet? You are changed because the blood has wiped away your sin. Acts 22, 16. Why do you tarry, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, brethren, that's what the Bible says. If you want to believe men, that it's an outward sign of inward grace, you want to believe that it's a work and that it has no purpose, then you believe what they tell you. But I've just told you what the Bible says. If you want God's grace, if you want God's forgiveness, if you want His mercy, that is His terms. If you're here and you are a child of God, you don't need to go back to the water, but you need to come back to the blood. You need to pray and you need to repent of your sin. And you need to confess that to God, and He will forgive you. The invitation is the Lord. His terms are final. You have a choice. That's together we stand.